Hi everyone, welcome back to Let's Do It Afraid podcast. Today we'll be talking about mental health and the struggles, stigmas, and resources there are to overcome those moments where you feel like the world is crushing down on you. So, how are you doing today, Myra?
I'm good. Today's my daughter's 17th birthday, so there's a lot of
Birthday.
festivities happening. Thank you. I can't believe I've been a mom for 17 years. Isn't that insane? Like to think that I've kept a human alive for that long.
Right?
And she's like a, kind, decent, functioning human being in society,
That's
So
great. It's not
it's
easy. It is not easy. I feel like
No.
a lot of the times parenting, it can it, you everybody's like, "How do you do it with three kids?" I'm like, "I just do it. Like I don't think about it and it happens and I wouldn't want my life any other way, Sometimes it can be hard. Like, don't get me wrong. There's moments where like you want to pull your hair out, but
Yeah.
you're doing great. And if you can do it, I can do it. And
Yeah.
it's kind of the way it works,
Oh yeah, for sure. It's the hardest job I've ever done, but it's also the most rewarding job I've ever done.
Yeah,
You know,
I hear that a
and it's
lot.
same. I wouldn't have it any other way. I can't imagine like life without my two kids. And when I get that question as well, it's like, well, how do you do it? I'm like, well, I didn't know I had another option.
Yeah.
I just had to do it. I don't have another option. Like, what is the other
Yeah.
option?
The phases they go through too, like you're not prepared for like teen I feel like I'm not prepared for any of the teenage years and my kid's almost there. And of course he's a little bit more delayed, but I already see some of the habits and I'm like, "Where are you learning this from?" And then of course you go to their school and the kids are acting a certain way and I'm like, "Oh my God, like lo que nos espera, pero hopefully it goes well and the kids get good habits and not bad habits, because this is where they throw themselves into the real deal and it's a whole other chapter of their lives, And my littlest is still little, so it's like I have one in each stage, which is a little interesting, but I know your daughter's gonna be an adult soon, and I cannot believe that.
I know. It's so scary to me. I can't. I don't like to think about it too much because then I get like all emotional and I get sad. So
Yeah.
I try not to think about it. But I do know that the day she turns 18, I'm gonna lose it because I can't. I don't know. It's just crazy to me to think that that she's a grown up and she's gonna be out in this like scary world,
Yeah, I mean, I feel like at that age, I kind of resemble myself, like what was I doing in that time period and things of that nature. But I feel like you've done a really good job with your daughter, and I feel like she's your little mini me and like your best friend sometimes when I see you guys out and about. I'm like, oh my God, that's so awesome. And I know mine's gonna be the same, but she's a feisty little girl. Like, yeah, I was like, vas a pagar lo que hiciste tú también. I'm like, oh my God. Pero sí, I mean, it's really like I try not to put her fire out because like I want her to have that confidence out in the world and she's gonna need it. We know the world's a scary place, like you said. And so for her to be able to voice herself, I think is something that is really something that I want for her. And I try not to put the fire out even when it's like against me. I mean, those moments are really hard, but it's part of life. And yeah.
Yeah, no, my daughter, she's 17 and she still loves hanging out with me, which is crazy to me because I'm pretty sure I stopped hanging out with my mom when I was probably like 14 or 15, was kind of the age where I just didn't really want to hang out with my mom anymore.
Yeah.
So I always just think it's such a blessing that she still wants to hang out with me and we still have so much fun together.
That
So
is
yeah,
awesome.
I
Like,
don't take it for
my
granted.
kids are not like that. My boys are like, okay, I'd rather hang out with my dad, but also they're boys. So, they're into like all the cars, fixing the cars up and washing and all that jazz. Like for me, it's like, well, what do I do with my mom? Well, besides take them out to the park and stuff, but that's something we've always done, and I guess it's more interesting to be with her dad. So. Yeah, I just can't wait for my daughter to grow up, but at the same time, I want to keep her small. So it's a balance in life.
Yeah.
But today, I wanted to talk about the mental health struggles that we have within the community and especially the Latino community, because a lot of the times I feel like it's taboo to talk about your mental health or issues that you're going through, because a lot of the times, like your parents, what is that saying? Like, no pongas los trapos al sol. Like, you can't share what's going on within your household, or don't have feelings. If you're a boy, you can't have feelings. If you're a
Yes.
girl, like some like, yeah, you can be a little chillona, but at the end of the day, like, it's not like there's much help or like nobody's really gonna sit there and talk to you about your struggles. It's like, get over it and move on, because that's how we all do it, you know? And it's like, no, like, some of us need more help than others, and sometimes I feel like it takes us living some kind of like crisis scenario for us to really understand, like, oh my God, this has gotten to that point, you know? And it's like, sometimes, como se dice, like, the kids are sponges, but also when you become an adult, that carries on with you. A lot of the stuff that you heard, or like we were talking about, like the stigmas, or like, oh, estás fea, o estás, like, you know, gorda, or whatever, like, that all stays with them sometimes, and then that can drive, you know, whatever, down that little rabbit hole. And then if they're living in some kind of crisis where they feel like they don't fit in, they're not understood, like, it can easily go bad. And I lived it in multiple scenarios, that like, we were at a party one time, and I had a family member had get this call, and they freaked out. Their heart rate went through the roof, and then we were like, what's going on? They started panicking. We called the ambulance, they picked them up, and then we're like, oh my God, like, it's so crazy. Like, and then we're like, wait, is it social anxiety? Like, what the heck happened? But after the fact, like, after they got their treatment, it was like, no, they were really going through a tough time, and they needed medicine at least, or something to control them within that time frame. But there's resources, and it's like, don't let it get that, you know, that out of hand, because if you see somebody struggle, like, look for resources. There's resources out there, and I feel like today and age, it's more, there's more resources, and people are talking more about their struggles, so it's not as taboo, but you have to have that courage to get out of your shell and voice yourself and look for that resource for yourself, because if nobody else is going to do it, then you know, you figure it out.
No, I agree. I think it is a little bit more acceptable for women to kind of break down or show their emotions, talk about their feelings and things like that. But you're right, men don't have that same luxury. You know, one of my brothers was in prison for a long time, and I've been telling him, like, hey, like, I want you to come on my podcast. You know, like, I want you to talk about, you know, not necessarily, he doesn't have to, you know, say what happened or, you know, specific things that happened, but just kind of his lived experience of that transition of getting out of prison, because that's kind of been really hard for him to kind of go back into society. And so I was telling him, like, you should come, and he's like, I don't know. I'm still trying to convince him. We'll see if he does. But it's just, he always says, like, Myra, like, you don't understand. Like, it's really hard for me to talk about my feelings and how I feel and how it's impacted me, because growing up, I wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Like los hombres son hombres, and you got to get it going, and doesn't matter what you're going through, like, push through. And it's, to me, it's like, it doesn't invalidate your feelings or your situation, but it's like, how did my parents come to another, like, country, knowing no, like, no English, knowing, like, no, how to speak with the people of the towns? They got to work, I don't know how, because a lot of the times there wasn't people speaking the language, but they did the job, and they got it done. And I'm finding right now that my husband is looking for another job. Like, he speaks the basic English, but he doesn't, like, fluently speak it or understand, like, big terms. So I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe how, like, the workplace has gotten. And it's like, if you don't know the language, it's really that much harder to get a job, versus, like, when my parents got here, I'm like, how in the world did they even get a job? Because they didn't speak the language, and putting themselves out there and leaving their family behind. Like, my mom got deported, I don't know how many times, and she had to get her kids out of the school, and they deported them all together, even though my brothers had papers. And it's like, they had to go live in Mexico for whatever time period and come back, and it's like, they had to reconstruct their lives over and over and over. How much trauma is that? Like, for me, I'm like, I'm dying over here with one little scenario, like, and that's me by myself. Like, I'm like, well, I should have been doing this better, or, like, being harder on myself. I'm like doing this to myself. Imagine in a larger scenario where you have to start from scratch and have a come find another place to live and start all over again. And it's just crazy to me, you know? And how they're still doing well, and I'm over here, like, midlife crisis. I'm like, I'm only 30 years old, and I thought I was dying, but you know?
No, definitely times have changed. You know, my parents had the same experience as yours, where they came here, didn't speak the language, didn't have a job, My mom was like 14 at the time, and they had to work in the fields. So it was a very, very different time. And I would even ask, I mean, my mom has gone through all these like crazy traumas and things like that, and she's never gone to counseling,
Yeah.
you know?
I was literally talking to my mom about that the other day. She was like, "Do you think it's too late to go to counseling?" I was like, "No. Like, if you still feel you have some kind of trauma or something stored within you, like, I feel like it's helpful, like, to take a look from the outside's perspective, just because we're always so stuck in like the rhythm of living here, of work. And like, you don't really take a look back. And she's like, "Oh, well, I see, like, 'cause sometimes like her siblings have like these." They get mad over things that I just tell them. I'm like, you guys should be just grateful that we have our family together. Like, get over your ego, get over your situation. Like, just look at it from another perspective. And again, here we are again. Like, it's just hard, easier said than done, you know? So I tell my mom, I'm like, well, maybe if you went to a therapist and they really told you, like, oh, work on this, work on that, maybe like something would change. But again, I can't just have her change her way and everybody else still be the same. But at the same time, like, it helps her hone in, you know? And like, that's what I tell her. Like, for me, therapy really helped me open my eyes and like rebuild the confidence. And like, it's not me. Like, I can only control myself and like only worry about what you can really control.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I do agree. It's never too late to go to therapy. It's never too late to put your mental health first, or even put yourself first, which I think sounds crazy to our Latino community, because oftentimes, we're raised that we have to put everyone else's needs before ours, especially the women. Like we serve the men first. It's like the kids and then the men and then the women. We sit down and eat at the end, typically.
Yeah.
So, it's good that she even has, I don't know if she's even considering it, because I don't know that my mom has ever even considered going to counseling. So it's good that she's even thought about that.
That's what I was telling her, because my grandparents are really old now, and I tell her, like, if grandma, because grandma still is in the, I don't know how to explain it, like, she learns something out of context real quick, and then like she gets everyone involved, and I'm like, you guys need to learn how not to react to how she's talking. Because I see my other grandma in Mexico who is 95, and this one here I think is 80 something. But I'm like, you can see the one in Mexico and how she is, and how she so stuck in her ways, and you can't change her behavior. I just tell my dad, just listen to what she has to tell you, and that's it. But like, try not to react, because you can't really take it personal at that point, you know? And I'm like, my grandma here is getting that same way. And I tell my mom, like, you guys need to learn that she wants the reaction. So we kind of have to figure out how to undo that. Like, just try to listen. Like, don't act like you're not there for her, but also don't play into how she wants it to play out. Because then to me, it sounds like a novela sometimes. And I'm like, you guys are like creating this whole chaos over like grandma's reaction. Just chill. Like, don't take sides. Don't listen to what she's saying. I mean, don't give in to what she's saying. Listen, but don't give in, you know? And I feel like finding a therapist that will speak your language is also hard. But I've gone in different, I think I went through Kaiser. There's one called Grow Therapy online as well, that if your Kaiser doesn't cover it or whatever medical insurance you have, they can outsource that service. Because right now, a lot of people are going through mental health problems, because a lot of the co I feel like a lot of COVID isolation led to a lot of mental health struggles and getting back on our feet and back in the workplace. So a lot of places are impacted, so they don't have a lot of resources within their network, but they will cover if you get referred by your doctor. So I would suggest talking to your doctor. And then there's also that emergency hotline that they just opened. I think it's dial 988 on your phone. And it's like, if you're in a crisis and you feel like you're dying or something, call that number and they will give you immediate resources. And then I think in the county, there's a couple of options. There's a mobile crisis services that they offer. It's like they bring behavioral health therapists to the situation and like a triage to all parts of Sonoma County. And I thought that was pretty cool. I didn't really, the one that I did learn about before was the city of Santa Rosa. The police department came up with a in response mental health support team, which is a similar scenario, but I think it also depends on like where you're at. But I would call either number and just get your support, because when I had my first panic attack, girl, I thought I was literally dying. I was working like nothing, and then I think just like the pressure of all the deadlines and like just trying to get everything back on track. I don't know what happened to my brain, and I thought like in the moment I thought it was COVID, because you know how they would say your pulmones, you couldn't breathe. And I was like, oh my God, I can't get, you know, like when you have your panic attack, your breathing is dysregulated. So it's like you either breathe too fast or you breathe too slow. And like I thought I was lightheaded, my heart was racing, I was like freaking out, and I was like, okay, well, I just came back from a trip and I think I got COVID and I'm dying now. Like, this is the end of my life. And then while I was sitting there, I ran outside. I'm like, I need a like fresh breath of air, you know, outside. Outside. And then I'm like, and my brain's just going a million different directions. And I'm like, okay, I need to call my mom. Well, I call my mom and she doesn't answer me. And I'm like, okay, well, this is the end of my world. Like, I'm gonna die here. My kids are not gonna get picked up. Like, what am I doing? You know, like, what's going on? I'm like, maybe if I would have went to the office, it would have been different. But you know, your brain's like, you know, all the different scenarios. Like, I laugh about it now, but in the moment, I literally thought I was dying.
Hard.
And I was like, oh, like, who am I gonna call? And then that week, thankfully, my neighbor was home. So I go over and I'm like, I think I'm dying. And then he's like, well, if you have COVID, stay away from me. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, well, at least watch my kids, please. I need to go to the hospital. And then they're like, are you gonna make it to the hospital? I'm like, you know what? What if I die while I'm driving? So I'm not driving to the hospital. I sit there and I call the 911, or was it 911? No, it was emergency line for Kaiser. And then they talk to me and they're like, no, you're just having a panic attack. Like, if you do these steps, take these steps, breathe in, do like the box breathing, I think it was. And then I calmed me down for like 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, I think I'm okay. I come back in, start working, and like not even 3 minutes in, again. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally dying. So then my brain goes to like diabetes. I have a family history of diabetes and everything just goes south. And I was like, I can't work. So I call in work. I'm like, I just can't. I'm having these health problems. Like, I got to go to the doctor. I think I'm dying. I go to the ER the next day, I think it was, because in the moment, I didn't think I could drive. And I just like try to calm myself down. And then I just waited out the day and like racing thoughts, all the different symptoms that you can get with anxiety and panic attacks. And then the doctor was like, oh, well, if you feel like you really can't control it, then go to the ER, have somebody drive you. And then the next day when I went in, I was like, I think my heart is giving out because I also have heart failure in my family. And then they did all the testing and it was perfect. I'm like, dude, I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me what's wrong because I really need a diagnosis because I'm dying, you know? And nothing. And it's so crazy how powerful your mind can be. And people don't really talk about their experiences, so you really don't resonate. Or you really feel like you're alone and you're dying and nobody can give you the answer and you're just really waiting for the doctor to tell you you're dying.
I'm so happy that I've never, or not happy, but I feel so blessed that I've never experienced that, because every story that I hear of people, I mean, I have like anxiety in the sense that, like, more like social anxiety, like I get really anxious around a big group of people and things like that, but like a panic attack, which kind of sounds like what you're describing, I've never experienced that. But every time I hear people tell me these stories, I'm like, oh my gosh, that just sounds so scary.
Yeah, it was bad, and I'm sorry I laughed within the moment, but it's like me
Oh
pongo
no, yeah.
nerviosa. And I know some people, I'm like, I hope they really don't take this the wrong way, but
No.
it just, I laugh at myself now because I'm like, I in the moment it just felt so like it was the end of the world, and then from that point forward is where my fear of death came. Because I'm like, all my kids have therapies, all my kids, like all the needs. Yes, my husband's involved, but the language barrier sometimes like worries me. And like, what if they don't treat them correctly? And they just, I've battled so much with my oldest, like with surgeries and XYZ and getting out of the hospital. Like, different doctors tell you different things. It's just, it's so hard. And it's like, I don't feel like they will advocate like I do. I know my mom will. My mom, hands down, will do everything because she's seen me do it and I've seen her do it. But on top of that, like, I just don't feel like they could do it as great as I have, or like really know when the kid is needing a certain thing or whatever. But that's just me. And so After that, I was just like, my health comes first, whether it's work, whether it's house, whether it's whatever. Like, I have to do something for myself first and make sure that I'm okay so that I can function. Because if I can't function, then I can't do anything.
Yeah. And I wish that people would understand, or not understand, but you know how when you're sick, for example, if I were to break my leg, I would never question, should I go to the hospital right now? You know? But for some reason, we don't have that same mentality when it comes to mental health. And I don't understand why, because that's important too. You know, so if you are struggling with something, you know, anxiety or any sort of mental health issue, you should feel okay to go get help and ask for help.
I don't know, maybe it's like I know a lot of people still like it's hard to have insurance and insurance is really expensive. I don't know if it's like that they don't have the resource or they don't have the insurance. A lot of the hospitals have the sliding scale. I don't know if they can apply for Medi-Cal on the spot, like emergency Medi-Cal. Like there's just resources that people don't know, and then the language barrier. Like if you don't speak English, they don't know that there's those resources. So I just tell everyone if you need to go, go. Try to get emergency Medi-Cal if there's any way that you can get it. But I do know the costs are out of the like out of their reach sometimes, that it's hard. And then mental health, a lot of the times insurances don't cover it. So maybe that's what's stopping them from going to the hospital, but there's resources in the community. I know there's various organizations that will cover mental health support. So just ask for it. If there's any way that we can help you guys also, like find resources for you within our community, like we'll be more than glad to help you. So just reach out and don't keep it to yourself, you know, like talk to somebody that at least you trust and say you're going through something, because the worst you can do is keep it to yourself. And the moment something goes wrong, like we don't know to look for you. Like sometimes people can like elope or, you know, and it's like stay in contact with at least one person or two people, because worst comes to worst, like they will know like what you've been up to, or like if you've been down, or it's just it's hard to see when somebody just closes themselves and doesn't really ask for help. Because then also like you have to also be a little bit more acceptance of getting some kind of help, or talking, just talking to somebody also like takes some kind of weight off your chest.
I mean, I've done BetterHelp for a while. I mean, I know you still have to pay, so once again, you know, if the financial aspect of it is hard, then I definitely feel that. But with BetterHelp, there is a little bit of help. You know, you can fill out a form and there is a little bit of help for that. And that has been helpful because it's you kind of do therapy at your own time, you know, whenever you want and things like that. And it's online, which makes it a little bit easier as well. That's really helped me, but yeah, definitely ask for help and don't be afraid to say that you need help, you know,
Yeah,
because
like even I think I was on Medi-Cal at some point. Sorry to cut you off, but I was on Medi-Cal at some point and I did grow therapy and they covered it. So I had Kaiser through my employer, and then once I got Medi-Cal, I just asked them to continue getting me on Kaiser. So you just have to ask for it. A lot of times people think that because they have Medi-Cal, they can't have their Kaiser, or they can't have the network that they have. If you ask them to switch it, they can switch it and you can continue the services that you already have. So I did that. And then when I went to the Kaiser Mental Health, I think it was like a psych or a psychologist. I can't remember which of the two it was, but they're all really booked. So they said, well, you choose where you want to go. And I did grow therapy online, which is just like BetterHelp. So they will pay for it if you have Medi-Cal, or if they can't cover it, like they don't have the resources to help you in person.
That's great.
So I thought that was cool because you could just log in on your phone.
And then another thing, I just lost my train of thought, but yeah, BetterHelp has been really positive for me as well. And then also, like you were saying, the language barrier is hard because I know with my husband, like there had been a time when we wanted to do couples therapy. And we ended up having to go with somebody that spoke English. So I had to be like translating a lot of the times. I mean, my husband's English was pretty good, but he's still at the point in his life where Spanish is his comfort. So I wish that we would have been able, but everyone in our area that spoke Spanish was completely booked. So it was really hard for us. not to be able to find someone that he could feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm wondering now that you're talking about it, does the like Catholic Church or somebody, I think there's some kind of like marriage therapy. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
I know some of the churches do, they do like, but it's more of like a group, like in a group
okay.
setting. I know
Okay,
the
yeah.
church that we've gone to, they do once a month they meet, and it's like I said, it's like a group therapy where it's like couples, and we kind of wanted more of like an individual
Yeah. That's what
one.
I was wondering too, because I think at one point I did also look into that, but I'm like, nobody here really speaks the language, and my husband also, same thing, Spanish is a comfort. And then like also the stigma that surrounds it. A lot of the times, like, they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be frowned upon, or like as a man, you don't want to, go and say that you're talking about your thrapples and things of that nature. Like, they will look down upon you. But at the same time, it's like if it's gonna make you a better person at the end of the day, like, don't really care about what they said. And I know that's easier said than done,
And
but
done. Yeah.
it's part of the process, and just realize that you're gonna, like, just realize that it's there. Acknowledging it sometimes also is like huge for anything. Acknowledging the behavior, acknowledging like that you are accepting what's going on with yourself, because a lot of the times I feel like we're in denial. And like I was telling you, I thought I was dying, and then I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm just, it's something else. It's not anxiety. It's not anxiety. And I'm like, it's not. And I'm like, I just couldn't believe how powerful the mind is. Like, literally, like, my mom would be like, oh, well, just snap out of it. I'm like, what? Like, what is that? Like, what does that mean? And then she's like, yeah, a veces, like, when I feel desesperada, like, because I have a long day or whatever, I just like start dancing, and like I distract myself, and I'm fine. And I'm like, well, I've done that, and I'm still in the same mood. It's like, it's because you have to train your brain. I'm like, mom, you don't understand what I'm living. I'm trying. I'm doing it, and my mind says otherwise. Like, you can have everything in your power to do one thing, and my mind just like stayed on that role of falling in a hole. Like, it was just so crazy to me how I was sitting there watching TV like for the first week, and it was like I couldn't concentrate, and I was sitting there watching it trying to understand what I was watching, and my brain went somewhere else. Like, all the worst case scenarios that you could think of is where my brain went, and then I followed in that hole. I kept going to that hole, and then when it was time to go to bed, I was like, well, nobody here is really understanding what I'm going through, so I'm dying. I'm dying, I'm dying, and I'm falling in a hole. And I'm like, I couldn't control myself. And then after that, I called the doctor, and they're like, take medicine, and then we'll wean you off at a certain time. I really don't want to take medicine either, but I'm like, I need to be able to function to be able to be present for my kids, because they're not gonna remember the mom that was trying to stay stuck. They're gonna be worried, So I did end up going on meds, and then I got weaned off like 3 months in, I think it was, or 4 months in, I can't remember. But I did get weaned off, and I felt better for some time period. But again, life happens, and then it can come back. It's just learning the coping mechanisms that there are. And I think therapy is huge. I've done a variety of therapy. I've done group therapy. I've done behavioral therapy, and then CBT is the behavioral therapy, and then like yoga. I forgot what it was called. Some kind of mental yoga. I forgot what it was called, but I've done various therapies. And I think like getting a little bit of each thing really helps me. But in the moment, sometimes like those things go out the door. But I do my best to like center myself, talk to myself. Grounding myself is really something huge that I need to do, and that I do on a daily basis, whether it's going outside, going on walks, going in nature, or going to the beach is something that I really enjoyed. And I know that we've talked about that, but it's really life-changing when you really tune into your emotions, and then realize that, again, you can only control what you can control.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you spoke about having to take medication because I do think there's a lot of stigma about that as well. I know, people that have been afraid to
Yeah.
take medicine, and I am a firm believer that, yeah, maybe the medicine isn't the solution for everyone,
Yeah.
but there are some people who need that. And if
Yeah.
you need that, that's okay.
Yeah, like literally I've been battling this myself again, because it's been picking up again, and I was like, I need to go on a medicine. And so I started taking something, but then when it gives me the side effects, my mind, like my health anxiety, I'm like, ah. But yeah, it's something that like helps me. So I know, like, I just have to figure out the right one. And then I told my therapist, I'm like, well, eventually I want to wean off and be able to do it myself. But
Yeah.
there's times, like, don't be afraid to do it when you can't function. Like, for me, that was huge. But there's people that get addicted to it. So I also see that
Yeah.
side of it. And that's what I ask all the time. I ask my therapist, I ask all the side effects, like, what's the addictive ratio, whatever it's called, like, what's the probability that I will be like addicted to this medicine and everything. I ask all the million questions. So
That's good. I didn't even think about, I mean, I've never been on any kind of medication, but that's good to know that if you do go on a certain medication that you can ask things like that, you know, because
yeah.
I do think that that is a fear that a lot of people have is, oh, I'm just going to be addicted to it, and then that's going to cause another problem.
Yeah, well, that's what I was scared of, because I feel like one of the first one that I did take, it gave me more palpitations, so it scared me real bad, and I thought I was having more heart problems. And so then they switched it, and then like it gives you, like, I have my Apple Watch, so I'm always monitoring my heart rate and making sure, because anxiety does make it go all over the place. So making sure that I'm watching myself and that I like calm myself down when it starts getting up, unless I'm doing exercise and it's reasonable, you know? But
Yeah. And I don't know too
Just
much about anxiety, but isn't it kind of the like the fear of what can happen, right? Like, does it isn't
yeah.
that usually what can like trick or trigger
So
the anxiety is like
the
thinking.
unknown, it can be a very, I mean, it can be anything. So there's a very, like, the way that they put it to me is like depression is something that you're worrying about in the past. Anxiety is something that you're worrying about the future. So you're not present in either situations, and you're dwelling, when you're depressed, you're dwelling on the past. When you're in the future, you're scared of the unknown. Like, you're worrying about every worst case scenario, and instead of focusing on the positive. And I used to be a really, really huge positive outlook person, so it's really hard for me to deal with all this, because I'm like, no, I used to be very optimistic and I used to like be very enthusiastic about a lot of things, and I still try to be, but it gets hard. Your mind is really powerful, and until we train it otherwise, like, it's really hard to get out these holes. So just talk about your situation with whoever you feel comfortable with. Look for resources, whether it's medication, yoga. I know some people smoke, and I know it's taboo in some places, but I do see, like, I've seen people go through that and like use it as a coping mechanism, which for me, not in my case, it wouldn't work, because I'm really scared of all the after effects and like feeling out of control. But I see it work with other people, you know? So for me, it's just working on myself every day and filling my cup. So that's how I deal with it. But if anybody else wants to share how they deal with any kind of anxiety or depression, or what they go through, like, what are ways that they get out of it, and I look forward to hearing back from everyone and everybody else's story. And I know you did talk about having like brief episodes of anxiety, but everybody's like experience can be different, and it's just like the more we know, the more we're like able to recognize it, I guess you can say. So I love that we were able to talk about this today and cover the topic, so people can really be more aware.
And I think that talking about it makes it more normal, less taboo, and at the end of the day, that's what we want. And I love that we kind of touched on, you know, that fear is a lot of times the factor that has caused this anxiety. So it just goes back to what we really want, which is to help people battle those fears every day and push through those fears, because I don't think they're ever going to go away. But like you said, it's something you're aware of and you kind of deal with every day. You find tools that help you every day to continue to fight that. And
Yes.
I applaud you for being so open and vulnerable about that today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, it took me a minute to really accept it. Like I said in the beginning, I just really couldn't think it was true. But like, then talking, like, when I did group therapy and I saw other people going through the exact same situation or like very similar, I was like, well, I'm not alone. But in the moment, you feel like you're the bad person, like you're incompetent, you're the worst, like, performer, whatever. Like, for me, it's been hard, because I've always been an overachiever, or like I've done my best and I go out of my way to make things better. But like, this has really slowed me down. And then the doctor's like, well, maybe this is just your sign that you need to be present and that you need to enjoy every moment, because when you go so fast in life, like, you don't really sink in all those moments, or you don't enjoy them because you're just rat race of life, you know? And it's true because I see my kids and my oldest is 11 and I'm like, cuando creció? Like, I need to sit there and enjoy these moments with him because that's what it's all about, you know? It makes everything worth it. And maybe it was something that God was like, well, now you have to slow down a little bit, enjoy your life, and you may not be as productive as you wish. Like I tell my husband, I'm like, I take like 3 times longer to like wash a dish, or like who's watching me? I'm like, I'm in my own house, like qué me pasa, you know? But it's part of the process. And when I talk to my therapist, they're like, oh, it's because somebody tried to crush your ego, so then you try to become a perfectionist or like overachiever again, and it's like it's taking you longer because te estás criticando tú mismo. And I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. But this is why I tell you therapy is great and really makes you like gives you another perspective onto how your situation has gone. And then they talk to a lot of people, so like you're not alone with this, and that's something that my therapist always told me. Like, I see all the come to go, like all the possibilities that you can have, and this is only like a little hurdle. This is not stopping you. This is not the end of the world. This is not the end of your path or journey. Like, you're gonna be able to do better things, and just take it as it is every day. And like I tell myself, one day at a time, and that's just how we're rolling.
Yeah, one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and just really remember. I hope everyone remembers to re really be kind to themselves. I think a lot of the times that's my struggle is I'm really mean to myself, and I need to remind myself, okay, Myra, like be nice to yourself. You know, like is like I would treat my friend, that's how I should treat myself. So
That's
I hope
something
that
the
everyone,
therapist has said too. Like, you give yourself grace. Like, I'm like, because of the perfectionism, or because I'm like trying to get back to where I was, or speed up in life again, like try to get back to my pace, is like you're not giving yourself grace. And then when you commit an error, like you're so hard on yourself. I'm like, I am, but it was like, 'cause I've always been up to speed and I've always been within, like, I guess, I don't know, maybe people pleasing, or like it comes into like, where was I before? But like, you're not in that same phase of your life. Like, take a step back, give yourself some grace, and then just go on, 'cause the day goes on.
Yeah, I agree. I think we all need to be more kind to ourselves. Yesterday after we recorded, I kind of broke down because something like we've talked about, something that I struggle with a lot is like self-image. And I was telling my friend, I'm like, yesterday I made the mistake of before we recorded, I just became obsessed at how I was going to look on camera, that I forgot what the meaning of this podcast is, which is to push through those kinds of fears. And I had felt that the interview or the recording that we did wasn't as good because I was so in my head about certain things. And so I kind of broke down and I was like, when am I going to be nice to myself? You know, like I'm human and I want to be heard, but I am scared to be seen. So it's like a constant, like you were saying, it's like a constant battle every day. And you think you're getting better, and then something happens, and you're like, well, am I getting better? But then I have to remember, like, no, I'm human.
Right.
I have bad
You're
days.
doing great. I just told you this yesterday. Like, I'm so proud of you.
Thank
You're
you.
doing amazing. Like, the topics we've all talked about, like, it's really relatable. And then as far like the feedback we've gotten has been great. And I mean, like, there's always gonna be room for improvement. So give yourself grace. You're amazing, and you're doing the big step of doing it already, you know? So that should take a little bit more of like the spotlight than when we're focusing on the negative. And I mean, you're human, so give yourself that time too to be able to feel the feelings. But it's all part of the journey, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. Like, I need to remember that I'm human, so I'm gonna have my bad days, and there are gonna be moments where, my healing isn't moving as fast as I'd like it to be, and that's okay. Like you were saying, I need to have those moments where I feel what I need to feel and process what I need to process. But also remember to be kind to myself and that I'm doing amazing. I'm pushing through a fear. I'm doing something I never thought I'd have the courage to do.
Yeah, see?
And that should be applauded, you know,
Yeah.
for myself. Like I should be proud of myself.
You know what? I think from this point forward, you should be doing something for yourself every Monday after every recording, and maybe that'll make you feel better. Like, get yourself a little treat or do something you like doing besides like the gym and the stuff you already do. just because it'll make you feel that much better, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. I'll go get myself a nice little treat or something
Yeah,
after.
something that you won't feel guilty, but you enjoy doing, maybe
Yeah.
shopping, maybe walking, I don't know,
Or
something.
even take myself to lunch. I feel like
Yeah, see?
I used to do that before, and it like really helped me to be okay with spending time with myself. I need to start doing that. Maybe on, after we record, I'll take myself to lunch.
Yeah, see? Okay, yes. We got to commit to something, be accountable, because that also helps a lot, like being accountable with something that you enjoy doing or your goals, and then rewarding yourself, because at the end of the day, instead of reflecting on how bad it could have been or how bad it was, it's we did it, and tomorrow's a new day. And that's something that I always tell myself, like at the end of the day, I can feel overwhelmed, like the something has like wrecked me, but the next day I'm perfectly fine and it's a new opportunity. And I'm like, how am I gonna feel in the morning? I know I'm gonna be fine, so I'll make it through the night. So with that, we'll wrap up this episode. And if you have any kind of questions or if there's any way we can help you guys, go ahead and send us a message. Otherwise, we'll hope to see you guys on the next episode, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.